This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Shao-Ik. It's our Doctor in the House segment this very rainy and gloomy Friday evening with my co-host, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist. How are you, George?
I'm very good. I think we're back to our usual routine now. Mm-hmm. It's raining, it's Friday, everyone is stuck in the traffic, and we're back to real business that we're going to talk about.
That's right. Today we are discussing whether Malaysia can be a regional hub for clinical trials. Mm-hmm. And, Malaysia's healthcare system, our skilled workforce and our diverse population present actually very attractive propositions for global pharmaceutical companies that are looking to conduct multi-center clinical trials. And, here's a statistic to be quite proud of, I think. In 2023, Malaysia ranked second in the Southeast Asian region in terms of the number of global industry-sponsored studies. But how can we maintain this potential move up as well to become a regional hub for clinical trials, especially focusing more on phase one or first in human clinical trials, which we will hear more about in the show today with our guests, Dr. Akmal Yusof, Chief Executive Officer of Clinical Research Malaysia, and Dr. Muhammad El Wakil, Country President of Novartis Malaysia. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. How are the both of you?
Thank you, Shoei. Thank you, George.
Yeah, we're excited about today's program because obviously not many people will think that, you know, we are a hub. Let me guess, if we're number two, Singapore got to be number one. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Oh, dear. It's okay. One day we'll catch up with your help.
One thing good is that the difference between Malaysia and Singapore is getting narrower. And we used to be in the tens, now less than 10.
All right, watch out, Singapore.
Yeah, watch out, Singapore. We are catching on.
So what we want to find out is what will it take for us to overtake? And also, of course, we have to maintain the good work that we're doing. Call us with your questions or thoughts. 03-7733-2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp our U mobile number, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Perhaps we need a bit of a 101 on clinical trials first, Dr. Akmal, to help our listeners make that connection with the therapies and medications, even devices go through trials, right? Everything that we go through in terms of receiving healthcare, what is the role of a clinical trial there? How does it ensure patient safety?
Well, Shugik, you spot on when you start earlier, because clinical research is about how we want to manage the unmet needs of patients. When patient has gone through the standard therapy, what's next? That's clinical research with new innovation and so on. When we have new innovations, we need to make sure that this new innovation is safe and produce the efficacy. And of course, there are few, hypotheses that needs to be proven in terms of efficacy. But at the end of the day, it is very regulated. And to safeguard people from enrolling in clinical research, but it also governed with the ethics committee to make sure that even the data collected must be safe and reliable. That's where there is an independent data monitoring committee and so on. So it is a very regulated process, and the process will produce data that shows that the new innovations is practical for human being, safe, and also efficacious.
And maybe maybe to add also on what Dr. Akmal said. So first of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here with you. And just a disclaimer before I add one point, and that I'm here on my capacity as a pharma board member, which is an association of 40 multinational and local companies. So I'm here on my capacity representing the association. So let me first add another point on what Dr. Akmal has mentioned, which might be interesting for people or the audience, because we are always hearing about phase one, phase two, phase three, and those things. So let me also give more elaboration on that, where when we talk about phase one, so this is the first phase, and usually it is on a very small number of patients, between 15 to 50 mm-hmm. patients, very limited countries around the world. And the main objective is to assess the safety You're of right. the medicine. Mm-hmm. So, and patients during that phase is split into cohorts to identify the best dose that can be safe for the patients and also produce that effectiveness. Then we move to phase two, if phase one is successful, where phase two is slightly less than 100 patients. And again, it's to assess the effectiveness and the side effects of the product. And then we move to phase three, again, mm-hmm. upon the success of every phase, we move to the next one. And phase three is usually on a larger number of patients in multi-centers in across different countries of the world. And there the product in the trial is compared with the best available treatment or the standard mm-hmm. of treatment in that disease area mm-hmm. to see if it's adding benefit or adding value to the patients or not. And then the last phase, which is phase four, and usually that happens after the approval of the product or after the FDA approval, and we call it post-marketing mm-hmm. Trials, to assess long-term efficacy and safety of the product. So maybe mm-hmm. that's in short, the four phases that we have. Okay.
This must take years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Hence the drugs might not be so cheap.
Well, yes.
So, I mean, typically, how does Malaysia participate in which phase is more prevalent in our participation?
So, in fact, in the different pharmaceutical companies are contributing across different phases. Mm-hmm. And we have been hearing recently more and more companies mm-hmm. Bringing phase one clinical trials, which is, again, as we mentioned, a difficult, very limited, in very limited countries. And we have phase two, phase three, and phase four as well. So, I would say across all phases, mm-hmm. Pharmaceutical industry is present, mm-hmm. getting more and more into phase one.
Mm, great.
What are the complexities or difficulties of phase one trials, Dr. Omar?
Well, in the past, we usually do around phase two, phase three clinical research that makes around 80 to 90%. Mm-hmm. But in order to move on to phase one, there is a different spec of capability with the sites and expertise in the sites with the doctors as well. We have to make sure that they are in line in the, what we call as the standard operating procedure to do clinical research, because in human and phase one, there are slightly higher risks in terms of doing clinical research, because this compound that is just coming in from the what they call as innovation, mm-hmm. and we don't know how it reacts to human being. Mm-hmm. And because of that, CRM invests in terms of developing the sites with accredited laboratory procedures, the authority engage with specific rules and regulations so that center can be accredited. And lastly, manpower. CRM sent doctors, study coordinators abroad, mm-hmm. even to their authority as well, so that they learn how to evaluate mm-hmm. protocols. And the most important thing is to reduce the risk or mitigate the risk when we know that it's a very, what do you call that, meticulous clinical research.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you know, we are now consolidating our expertise in this. How do companies, multinational companies, decide to pick Malaysia? And also across the board, what sort of like drugs had actually been tried in Malaysia?
Okay, so let me get the first part first. What does companies think about when bringing a clinical trial? And I think a key thing that we look at the beginning is the incidence or the prevalence of the disease. Or in other words, does that disease exist in the country or not? Uh-huh. Is there an unmet need in the country or not? Do we have patients on this disease in the country or not? So that's the first thing when we start doing sort of what we call a feasibility analysis to bring clinical trials. So the first thing is we see the patient pool. The second thing is looking at the quality and the credibility of the investigators that will conduct the clinical trial. Mm. Because in many cases, those trials might be used for approvals, for example. So the data must be very accurate and very systematic the way it is being done. Another thing that we look at is having the enough human resources or staff, because the process of a clinical trial is a very tedious process. It mm-hmm. requires a lot of time to explain to the patients the protocol, archiving work, documentation work, analysis, a lot of effort that needs, and that requires enough staff to be there to make this happen. And we have been working very closely as pharmaceutical companies together with CRM to make sure that those aspects, whether it comes to the capabilities or whether it comes to the readiness of the country to host more and more of those trials. And we have been doing very good progress over the previous years. Mm-hmm. So maybe on the second part, and Dr. Akmal can comment more since he has the data about the specific diseases. But I think from the industry, I think one of the disease areas that have been getting the most attention and the most progress mm-hmm. in the recent years is the oncology area.
Of course.
Or cancer area. So this is, I would say, one of the big areas that is bringing more and more innovation. And mm-hmm. Every day there is something new there. Every day there is a new hope for patients. And still it's on the go. And a lot of companies are putting a lot of focus and resources mm-hmm. there.
We're spot on. Last year alone, there were 49 clinical research on oncology. That's the highest number of growth. Mm-hmm. And compared to the year before, which was around 30. But the reason for this is that this is the what we call as the most active research therapeutic areas. Mm-hmm. I remember 20 years ago, there's only one, mutation that is recognized, which is called EGFR mutation. Mm-hmm. Now there are hundreds of them, and each particular mutation has its own research and innovations. And we're very lucky that pharmaceutical like company like Infarma, mm-hmm. they trust that they can do the work in Malaysia. And we have a lot of work to build up the trust in terms of the reliability, the speed of doing things, mm-hmm. and the quality, as what Mr. Wakil has mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. This comes with a lot of training and development, employing the right people, the right mindset to do the clinical research.
And also, naturally, we're not short of the patient pool in our country, right?
Yes.
Sadly, but of course, with clinical trials, a lot of people are going to benefit from that, right?
But actually, Dr. George, you brought a very important point, which is a unique strength, I would say, for Malaysia, is the patient pool. Mm-hmm. We have something unique in Malaysia, which is the diversity in the ethnic groups uh-huh. we have in Malaysia. So you have Malay, you have Chinese, you have Indian, and mm-hmm. so it's all in one. In one country, you get all that, and that's unique about Malaysia. And I think that's one of the key strengths, also back to your earlier question, when companies think of Malaysia, that brings a lot of strength to the country, in addition to the regulatory process, the approval of the protocols of the clinical trials. That's also another important point, in addition to the strong investigators we have in the country, the credible investigators. So mm-hmm. all those are factors that really makes Malaysia unique.
All right, we'll go for a quick break and continue this conversation after a few short messages. In the studio with me, my co-host, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, and we are joined by Dr. Akmal Yusof, Chief Executive Officer from Clinical Research Malaysia, and Dr. Mohamad Al-Wakil, Country President of Novartis Malaysia and also Board Member of the Pharmaceutical Association of Malaysia. We're discussing Malaysia aspiring to become a regional hub for clinical trials. We'll be right back, so stay tuned to Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik, and my co-host for Doctor in the House today, Dr. George Lee. In the studio with us are Dr. Mohamad Al-Wakil, Country President of Novartis Malaysia and also Board Member of the Pharmaceutical Association of Malaysia, and Dr. Akmal Yusof, Chief Executive Officer of Clinical Research Malaysia. We're discussing whether Malaysia, we just heard a message saying being first matters, right? Can Malaysia be the first in the region? region for clinical trials, especially those sponsored by pharmaceutical companies that are looking to bring new medications and new therapies for patient care. Dr. Amal, can we be first? Because earlier I mentioned in 2023, last year, we ranked second in the Southeast Asian region. You've already broken our bubble and said Singapore was first, of course. Can we be first? What will it take?
It takes a lot of ease of doing business, meaning change in terms of the way how we perceive with regards to the new innovations, right from the authority and the ethics committee, starting with the first in human study. Mm-hmm. And this is a very challenging area. But having said that, we've done at least five, 3 years ago, mm-hmm. we've done zero. Mm-hmm. And this is a precursor for the things to happen. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is that we have a very good health system that actually differentiate which mm-hmm. tier of patients that we want to recruit. The most important thing is there is also a tier that is coming from the public health, mm-hmm. the universities, and the private sector. Mm-hmm. So they have a different tier in terms of use of medicine, unmet needs, mm-hmm. and what we call as following the protocol in which stages of the development of the medicine. Mm-hmm. I believe the third part is the strong will of the government. CRM is owned by the Ministry of Health. And I can assure you that the sentiment of the key personnel in the Ministry of Health is mm-hmm. very supporting in this. Yeah. That's why there's a lot of change in the recently with National Pharmaceutical Regulatory Authority, the Institute of Clinical Institute for Clinical Research, and the most important thing is the National Institute of Health that mm-hmm. is brought up with six institutes that has research and development. And, yeah.
What is CRM's role in facilitating these clinical trials? You also mentioned something like Institute for Clinical Research. And of course, there's so many players involved, right? Hospitals, universities. So firstly, what's your role and how is it distinguished from other agencies?
In the past, the situation is very fragmented. Pre-2012, in terms of doing clinical research, there is different sets of what you call that requirements for every particular hospital, for that mm-hmm. matter. And things like budget negotiation, legal in terms of contract to sign, mm-hmm. it's very meticulous. And of course, Mr. El-Wakil mentioned about the feasibility. It's very, imagine those days you have to go to each particular center and doctors to ask how many numbers of mm-hmm. patients that you can contribute. But with CRM, we work as a one-stop center. We build that capability to answer the question faster, quicker, mm-hmm. and come up with a reasonable price to do clinical research. Not cheap, but cost-effective. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is about how we are managed to conduit our relationship with the authority to make sure that they see the bright sky that things are changing in mm-hmm. the world. And because of this, there are many different policies being put in and regulation has been dropped. Bureaucratic process has been reduced. Now, the difference between us and Institute for Clinical Research, we focus mainly on the industry's research, even institute research coming from the international organization like universities and so on, just to help in terms of getting it done in Malaysia, mm-hmm. where else ICR has a very paramount task to make sure that they do the clinical that matters to the policymaker. Mm-hmm. For instance, like during the COVID time, which type of medicine is good for the COVID patients? And one of it is ivermectin, for that matter. Mm-hmm. And that shows that how important clinical research like that, we call that as investigator-initiated trial. Mm-hmm. It comes from the doctors in the hospital. So that's how we differentiate ourselves, and we're very focused on that.
Yeah. Sure, I can vouch to that. You know, second, I'm a dinosaur. And then the time when I was in a university in Malaya, we actually did not have CRM, the benefit of CRM. I was there between 2007 and 2012, just before you were born. And then I can assure you that, you know, it's the pharma company that will approach individual doctors, and individual doctor will be given a task to put forward this in a clinical ethics committee. And then we have to somehow persuade some of our nurses to take part, and then somehow pay them something. And then eventually everything will fall apart because there is no real will or time, because it's all kind of tumpang here and there. And then that created that. And obviously, that's the beauty of CRM in the last 12 years, right? Okay. I mean, the question I have is that kind of expanding? Obviously, it has evolved from the time when I was involved in clinical trials. Is that role expanding? And what have you how have you evolved in the last 12 years?
We started very modestly with 50 people. Right. And now we have 250 personnel.
Wow.
And 192 of them are study coordinators that are located all over the country. We want to make this as a profession, mm-hmm. because in the past, doctors, as what you say, using the nurses and so on. But having this solution, it helps in terms of making clinical research to be done in an efficient manner and less time. But most of all, taking a very pragmatic way to do clinical research, we following the protocol very strictly, because this study coordinator, apart from being arranging the visit of doctors, of the patients, they're also involved in making sure that the doctors follow the protocol.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a double sword edge. But the most important thing is building this as a career, meaning we have nurses, science degree graduates, will be able to enter this field and develop themselves to become good at this.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, this will be a stepping stone for them to move on. And this is very interesting.
It's a career, really.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have a career progression for them to make sure that they have enough training, longitudinal and also horizontal, to be expert at the field.
Wakil, what else would the industry in Malaysia like to see when it comes to things like that ease of doing business that Dr. Akmal mentioned?
Yeah. So I think one key thing which comes out of the ethical commitment of pharmaceutical companies is to ensure the continuation of the treatment of the patient even after the trial ends. What does that mean? That means that we need the product to be registered the fastest possible time, mm-hmm. and not only registered, but also listed and become available for open access, mm-hmm. either in tenders or in the government, to open up the access for everyone to be able to access it. So the time the product would take to reach to that level of a universal access or to be covered in the tender in the government could take 5 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very long time. Mm-hmm. Every day would make a difference for a patient to get the access to that, mm-hmm. To that medicine. So that's one important consideration when we look at if we can shorten that time, the timelines of the registration, the timelines of the listing, and the timelines of opening up the access for the patients. I think that encourages more and more companies out of our ethical commitment to the patients to bring the medication after the clinical trial. Mm.
So what you're highlighting is the approval process met with a lot of challenges of bureaucracy. What about the approval process of the trials that are being put forward?
Yeah.
Are you facing the similar kind of like a time challenge so far?
Yeah, that's a very important point, Dr. George, because I have mentioned earlier that regulatory process is one of the strengths.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's now. So
right.
What I mean by regulatory process is the approval of the protocol of the clinical trial. How long does it take? So currently in Malaysia, it takes around 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Correct? And that's a huge progress. And thanks to all the people who have supported in doing that, and we are advancing. Yet, do we want to stay there? Maybe after 2 years or 3 years, that is not enough. Especially when we look now at our competing countries around us. Mm-hmm. When we look at China, for example, now the protocol approval timeline in China is down to 30 days, mm-hmm. 3-0.
Yeah.
So we're not alone.
No.
So our countries around us, our competitors, if we would put it that way, are also advancing and are also evolving. So we should not stop there. we should continue on working on ourselves, improving on our process, and don't look at what we have as a strength now. Mm-hmm. Don't just rely on it. We need to continue working, improving, similar to our competitors as well.
Why, right, Dr. Akmal, why do we want to push this? What are the economic benefits for bringing in clinical trials and benefits to our healthcare system as well?
Well, like Bright mentioned earlier, that it's building up a new career. But on top of that, there are tangible benefits in terms of foreign direct investment. Mm-hmm. Last year alone, we have around 137 million that comes to clinical research. Mm-hmm. From 2012 till now, it's 1.16 billion ringgit. Is the sky the limit? I believe so. The glass is half full of water. Mm-hmm. And this year alone, we are in quarter one. The GNI that we developed from clinical research agreement is beyond what we imagined.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over expectation. We got to review back our key performance index on that message we just presented to the board of director. But the thing is that there are those tangible benefits in terms of dollars and cents coming to Malaysia. And on top of that, we have career progression, career development for people. And last but not least, we offer patient a solution. Mm-hmm. Those patients who has already, exhausted the standard therapy, public, private, or universities for that matter, the next thing is clinical research. Mm-hmm. That's why we bring this clinic.
Yeah, I mean, you ask a very obvious question. Why? It's because it's big money, right? It's huge money. Because all these drug developments, huge money. I mean, Wakil highlighted that there are so many competitors in the regions. Everybody is consolidating their expertise. And then obviously they choose which ones to go for. And then because it's multi-central, you know, multinational, do we, FCRM, actually go and actively approach companies so that we can bring in this money?
This is one part that we did. We actually go to international conference. We meet up with the key personnel from each particular company. We go up to even see the chief scientific officer. I just want to relate one story. There was one incident that we met this chief scientific officer, and he only had 5 minutes to talk with us. But instead, the meeting lasted for more than half an hour, because how interested they are with the value that we bring in, the value proposition, is what Mr. Al-Wakil had mentioned earlier. But the fact that he checks with his right-hand man and left-hand man, does this guy talking a real thing or nonsense? And they all say that it's true fact. And as a result, they moved the operation to another country, to Malaysia, in terms of clinical research management.
So you're actively recruiting business. And then it's clearly based on track records, really. Isn't that true?
Of course. Because, again, you might be fully aware that clinical research or clinical trials is one of the biggest investments that pharmaceutical companies do. Compared to any other activity that the company does, this has the highest investment that is being done. So, and that's why it's very important that companies look at it as an investment also in the country, a lot of resources into the country. So they also look at the overall ecosystem in the country, from a healthcare system, from an economic system. Is it stable system? And is it is that investment being recognized by the authorities as a foreign direct investment into the country and contributing into the country GDP?
Having said, we are very regulated, and we stick to the good clinical practice. It is a harmonization system that we abide to, so that the data is not confabulated. The data are quality data that is truthful to be presented in the world of science. This is very important because as a company, CRM, we believe we are a global trusted research management organization, because all of the people that goes to do the clinical research in the field are good clinical practice certified. We are an ISO 9001 accredited. And of course, when managing funds, we need to be having an ISO 37000, which is anti-bribery, anti-corruption practice, and so on. So all these must be in place so that there is an element of trust to come to Malaysia.
So while we talk about big money, 1.16 billion ringgit in the last 12 years in terms of what CRM has facilitated, but how do we reconcile that with the fact that we also see a public health system in Malaysia that, you know, even ministers have acknowledged is underfunded, system is straining as well. Dr. Akmal, how can we channel that income into improving the public health system?
It's a very difficult question to answer, but we know that whatever we earn, actually, we put back again as investment. We put in investment in developing the CRC center in the few hospitals. We even build a ward for that clinical research can be done. This is something that an added benefit for the government, although it's not much, but we realize that when we procure this way, it is much, much cheaper.
Yeah.
And as a result, we can stretch the ringgit even wider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think the dollar and cent definitely are extremely important. But again, back to one important thing for the patient. Clinical trials do bring a huge hope for patients, a big hope for patients who might be out of options, who don't have that options. So I think that is a very important point. In addition to that, as I mentioned earlier, in phase three, we have the comparison with the best available treatment. Mm-hmm. During clinical trial, actually, patients on both arms of the trial have free access to that medication. And sometimes that best available treatment even is not accessible at the government or easily accessible for the patients. And patients can mm-hmm. get that advantage of having it for free.
Mm. On that note, I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I mean, it all sounded all very rosy. The patients benefit from this. The government brings in money. And also, eventually, you know, there's a building of career or people who are interested in this. But many listeners out there are patients who worry that they are the guinea pig whenever they're being, you know, trialed on drugs. How do we kind of assure them that, you know, all, they are not at risk?
Well, in the first place, I think we need, this is why we are here today. I think we need to educate the public that clinical research is actually a solution rather than an experiment. It is taking out human from its misery of the disease itself. We're not saying that everybody will be treated or responded 100% well, but for those who responded, they have a better quality of life, better life to manage in terms
even
of
a chance
the disease.
To live. Even a chance to live.
I mean, you spot on that basis. But, you know, these things, does it matter? Mm-hmm. I think every when you are in that particular situation, when you have that extra time, you can do wonders, put the house in order and so on.
But that's where the phase one trials become sort of a more difficult to sell that idea, right? Because you are testing these on healthy. You're taking it the first time is going from bench to a healthy person.
In a way, yes, but not all, because a lot of this study goes into people who have solid tumor, for that matter, people who has SLE, for that matter. Sometimes it's what we call as, yes, it's first in human who has the diseases. Now, there are studies that involve patient healthy volunteers. It is also very highly regulated with registry so that there wouldn't be any over-recruitment, over-enrolling in clinical research. These are some studies that is going on in Malaysia as well. So it's a mixture. So not to say that it's only healthy volunteers, but also patients as well.
And maybe just to add on this point, I think we need to look at the phase one clinical trials as a breakthrough. When we look at the new industrial plan for 2030, it's going toward a knowledge-based economy. And I think that bringing that phase one clinical trials need to be looked at as a breakthrough for the country, for discovering and bringing access of a new science to address an unmet need for patients. I think that puts the country on the track for discovering medicine. And those are, as I mentioned, the phase one trials are in very limited countries in the world. So you are among the elite countries in the world. What does that mean for our investigators that are carrying that clinical trial? Again, that goes back, it's a whole circle. It goes back to increasing their credibility, their knowledge around the world, their reputation around the world to bring more and more clinical trials. So I think it's a whole ecosystem again that goes around those phase one trials. And the whole audit following the GCP, not only from CRM part, also from the pharma industry part, it's a very thorough process to make sure that we audit the sites very closely. Up to an extent, I think, in phase one trials in specific, we do have cameras. I think Dr. Akmal can elaborate more. The patients are continuously monitored with a camera to make sure we are following all the process correctly and right to ensure the safety of the patients.
All right. We'll go for a final break before we wrap up this discussion after my co-host, Dr. George Lee, in the studio, along with Dr. Akmal Yusof, Chief Executive Officer of Clinical Research Malaysia, and Dr. Muhammad Al-Wakil, Country President of Novartis Malaysia. We'll be right back on Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Shao-Ik, and my co-host, Dr. George Lee, in the studio with us today for our Doctor in House segment, where we're discussing Malaysia as a regional hub for clinical trials. Dr. Akmal Yusof, CEO of the Clinical Research Malaysia, and Dr. Muhammad Al-Wakil, Country President of Novartis Malaysia and Board Member of Pharma. Just very quickly, in the last few minutes that we have, Dr. Akmal, some diseases tend to be neglected in research, such as tropical diseases, rare diseases included as well. Will Malaysia push for clinical trials in these areas to ensure these vulnerable populations have access to treatments they need as well?
We do, and it's not an easy task because the clinical research is even more meticulous. But what I want to bring is what we have on the plate at the moment, like dengue, for that matter. We are working very hard with certain organizations and also pharma to make sure that we find the right solution, whether it's vaccine, whether it's the medicine. We even go to the repurposing of medicine. I think you very well know about repurposing. And there are many candidate drugs in the shelf of the pharma and also scientist laboratory, for that matter. These are potential candidate that can help to become antiviral to manage dengue better. And with that, we hope we can address the issues of dengue diseases in Malaysia, dengue infection.
From the industry's perspective, Wakil?
Again, I would emphasize on the point Dr. Akmal mentioned. We try to reach out to NGOs or non-profit organizations or patient organizations to look into those diseases and how we can support, as I mentioned earlier, those seasonal diseases or those specific diseases might not be an easy to look for. So pharmaceutical industries cannot be doing that on our own. We need that level of collaboration and partnership, whether it's with CRM, whether it's with patient organizations or NGOs, in order to be able to address that.
Mm. And as an industry body, Wakil, how do you ensure that all those good practices, industry and research practices, are maintained at the very highest standards? Because I think any wrongdoings when it comes to clinical research can wipe out a lot of the good work that has been done.
100%. So first of all, we have different levels of governance and monitoring, right? So it starts from, of course, the company itself. Every company have its own regulations, have its own policies, which are very strict, its own way of auditing to ensure that those research are done matching the GCP. And we are being audited also by external parties to ensure that this is being done. At the end, those trials are being used to get approval or FDA approval or EMA approval. So it is very, very critical in terms of governance starting from the pharmaceutical company. And then we have the local laws and regulations that also governs us. And we are, as pharmaceutical companies, in many incidents, are being audited by the health authorities to ensure that we are doing the right thing and doing the right practice. So again, there is a lot of control there to ensure that we are following the GCP as it is mentioned. So I think, Dr. Akmal, you want
to... Yeah, we are also inspected by the health authority all over the world.
Yes, exactly.
DGA, Australia, EMA, Union European, and also US FDA. I can assure you that it is very well received, and the audit comes up with no action needed. Yes. I'm very pleased with that because it clearly shows how the quality of our investigator in doing mm-hmm. clinical research.
Yes.
Mind you, we have great talents in Malaysia. Our doctors, you know, something like Dr. George, you know, they are really good. And their clinical research is one way to expose them, get them recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different when you are meeting up a colleague or experts in clinical society meeting where you say hi and bye. But in this case, you are able to sit next to the expert of the area where you do that in the investigator meeting and share the ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates more opportunity for research to be conducted.
I must say, you're doing an excellent career talk. I hope listeners who are, you know, sort of young healthcare, you know, they're looking
at
careers
in healthcare.
Yeah, and
many nurses, actually many retired nurses, you know, wish to participate this as a career path. Yeah.
I actually, to add, we had that for Pharma was organizing the career day, the Pharma career day. We had the 700 participants in that day. And the highest attraction was going to the clinical research booth.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, and again, there is a very high unmet need there. We need a lot. As I mentioned earlier, one of the points is the staffing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. And the turnover there is very high.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to recruit more and more of clinical research associates and trial associates. And Pharma have been playing also an important role together with CRM. We just signed very recent a memorandum of understanding or an MOU to support CRM with capabilities and with resources to help in building up those capabilities and filling up that pipeline to ensure of the continuation of the staffing for clinical trials.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited when Elwakil say that because we signed in January this year and now we have a center of excellence where we train newly graduates. We are going to train 30 of them this year mm-hmm. in batches. And Pharma has a program where they call it as a Protege program.
Yes.
And they're going to send them to us to be trained and another manpower for clinical research.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we do this right together, like what we do with Pharma, I believe we can achieve a different standard.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can be number one in the region.
So finally, in about 2 minutes, Dr. Akmal, that same message, but for the public, what is the message you want to send to the public to increase their interest and participation in clinical trials?
I think the public must be open in terms of the mindset to see that clinical research is actually a health solution to help the patients, whether yourself or your loved one. And for those patients who actually responded in the clinical research, I can assure you that the extra time that they have with the family is very valuable. So we have a website, we have a place where we can look for clinical research. And please come to the website and look for it.
Wakil, any final thoughts?
No, I think, again, I wouldn't add much to what Dr. Akmal has mentioned. I think clinical research is a very important component in terms of contributing to the economy, in terms of providing highly skilled job opportunities. And most important of that is providing hope for patients Who might be on those clinical trials.
Mm-hmm. George, any kind of thoughts?
Well, actually, I would like to congratulate both gentlemen here. Clearly, you know, you collaborate well with each other, and it's a win-win situation. Obviously, we come a long way from the days that I was involved in a clinical trial. I mean, I'm going to answer Xiao-Yi's questions about whether we can get the number one spot or not. I think it's completely possible for three reasons. Number one is that I think patient pool-wise, we have a lot more. Population-wise, 7 million versus 35 million. Clearly, we have more people. And secondly, it's fortunately and unfortunately as well that our populations are probably not as healthy. And then therefore, we have a lot more pool of those patients. And then lastly, I think economically, it's probably made economic sense to actually do trials in Malaysia. Yes. And then therefore, you can probably court a lot more of those, pharma companies to actually invest in this. But I also agree with Wakil that, you know, at the end of the day, we can't be too complacent because there are all other people who really want a piece of this pie of the big money as well.
Across the street, Singapore is having the same conversation. Don't let Malaysia catch up.
That's right. Okay, but they can never win when it comes to population pool.
Yes, so that diversity is a strong point that we must capitalise. Thank you so much for your thoughts with me today, Dr. George Lee, my co-host, and our guests, Dr. Akmal Yusof from Clinical Research Malaysia and Dr. Mohammad Al-Wakil from Novartis Malaysia and the Pharmaceutical Association of Malaysia. This has been Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.